Well, I'm still awake. What a surprise. Still wide awake, no sign of sleep. Actually, I haven't even tried because it's a waste of time. And I probably won't go to sleep till 7 o'clock in the morning. It's a good job I don't have to get up for work these days. That's all I can say. Mind you, it's the bank holiday. It is silent outside, but you can probably hear my TV downstairs because OB is still downstairs. I've just been in and turned Ronan's TV off. He has Radio 1 Extra on, and believe me, at night they play the biggest load of garbage ever. So he's asleep, so I've gone and turned that off. I've got the radio on. It's Radio 5 Live, but I'm not even listening to it. I don't even know why it's on. I can't even hear it. It's just like a noise in the background. I just went to the window. It's silence. There's no wind. I've got the windows open because I always sleep with them open, even in winter. I just close this door over. That shuts out a bit of the TV downstairs. And I'll turn this radio off. And I go over to the window. Oh, I'm so bored. Alright, hold on a sec. I'm just going to try and open it properly. He's on the safety catch, which is okay when you have cats and kids. Oh shit, sorry about my language. I've just knocked some of my husband's stuff down. I thought it was supposed to rain tonight. There's a car going past on the rain. The rain, the main road. Wow. I wish I could hear the owls from here. In my old house, we had woods at the back of the house. They were right at the back of the garden. And at night, we used to hear tawny owls, and I loved to hear them. I remember I only lived there for 6 months. It was temporary. But I remember the first night I said, oh, I might hear owls here. And the first night I heard them, I was so excited. The kids were like, hey, what's the matter with her? I was like, guess what? I heard an owl. Because I just love the sound of them. And also the other sound, the less common sound they make, which is kind of goes pee-wee. Like that somehow. And I have got one recording. It's not a brilliant one, but they're quite close. But here it's too open, I think, because at the back we've got the school playground and fields, and there are some tall trees, but I don't think there's enough of them. It's not like a copse or anything. And then the other way we've got the farmer's fields and the public footpath, but and there are some woods at the end of that, but I think they're too far for us to hear anything. But the thing is, I'm at the front of the house, so even if there are any at the back, I wouldn't necessarily hear them, because double glazing shuts out so much. It's actually quite cold out there. Is the top window... Yeah, the top window's open as well. There's a slight breeze, actually. I said it was very still. It felt like it was, but now I've opened the window wider, I can feel a slight breeze. That's a... I don't know what it's made of. It's some kind of metal. It's a chiming heart. I bought it in Devon years ago. Actually, it wasn't that many years ago. I think it was about 5 years ago, the last time I was down there. And I gave it to my husband when I went out to see him before he came to the UK. And he brought it with him. And now it's back home again, aren't you? It's a weird thing. But I like it. I like odd things like that. Maybe it's because I'm odd. I'm sure my family would confirm that. I didn't know it was up here, though. It's in the corner. That's it. Knock everything over, woman. It's quite nice standing by the open window. It's cool. I've got my exercise bike here, but I sometimes sit on it by the window, but my husband's stuff's on there. I'm going to put it in his wardrobe because it's on the saddle. I don't really want that there, so it can be put away now. I'm sure he won't mind. All folded up nicely. Now I can sit up here. Well, that's the idea anyway. So, there you go. No, I'm not going on it. But when you put your feet on the pedals, you can't help but move them. I don't know why. Because I mean, my feet can reach the floor easily. They're not dangling in midair or anything like that, but even so, he hangs things on the handlebars. Because it's his side of the bed, you see. I'm the other way. The other side, that is. At least that woman's not laughing like an old witch now. She sounded really awful. I was out there, she went, and then I heard it again, and I thought, hey, because everywhere else was so quiet, and then there's just this peal of witchish laughter just rang out across the, I don't know, air, through the air. There's a green opposite here. It rang out across the green, but I think she was inside with her window open. Anyway, I am not going to sit here or stand here talking crap for another hour. So I'm going to put the window back on its catch because I don't really want anyone getting in. And there you go. There. And I suppose, I don't know what to do now. I think I'm going to have another go at... I'm going to look at iBooks, I think, because I can't get Audible to work. I've got to ring them up, but I hate ringing them because they're Americans. Sorry, Americans, I've got nothing against you, but sometimes there's a bit of communication problem. I know there shouldn't be, and we speak the same language and all that, but do we? I don't know about that, so... I remember getting quite irate with the woman last time. I can't remember what my issue was, but I did. Because she kept telling me one thing and I kept insisting it was another, which it was. And of course I always have to have the... Well, no, that's not true. I don't always have to have the last word. I used to be like that. But I don't think I am anymore. Sometimes I think the last word, but I don't always have to say it now, if you know what I mean. I've learnt to curb that one a bit. And I think it was because I went out with somebody who was worse than me at it, and I realised how awful it was. We were both, not that I strictly believe in all that crap, but we were both Scorpio star signs, which apparently, if you believe in that kind of thing, can either be a complete success or an absolute disaster. And in some ways we did get on, but when we had an argument, he used to deliberately wind me up sometimes. And when we had an argument, he'd wind me up sometimes about things that he knew. And they were really stupid things. And he knew that what I was saying was right, but he insisted on winding me up to fever pitch. And if we really got into an argument where we weren't being winding it, well, I never wound him up, but if he wasn't winding me up and we had a genuine disagreement about something, he would always have the last word. And we used to argue it backwards and forwards. And I began to think what an awful trait it is in somebody. And I think that's what started to make me knock it on the head myself. Because even if I think I'm right, other people are entitled to their opinion. I never thought otherwise. I never thought they weren't, but I don't think that my opinion is the only opinion. I've never thought that either. And I'm not an incurable know-it-all. But I suppose with him, I don't know, I think I just couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear him to have the last word. But in the end, I couldn't compete with him. So I shut up. I remember one of the things we argued over was, he told me that his brother had a white Labrador, and I said, there's no such thing. He said, there is, my brother's got one. And I said, well, it's not a, it may be white in colour. Even a white Labrador isn't proper white. Even if it is very pale, it's not that proper white. But I said, there's no such thing in the breed standard. The Labrador is a yellow, even if it's ranges from white to a reddish colour. And all the shades in between is called yellow in the breeding world, which I think is really stupid anyway. But he argued with me and he said there's no such, you know, there is such thing as a white Labrador. And of course, he thought there was to start with. And then he went and looked it up and found there isn't. So, but he continued the argument, which is really stupid. And it was a really stupid thing to argue over. Anyway, that's all water under the bridge now. So I don't, if I think something, I'll keep it to myself now. Because that's the best way. And I don't really like arguing. I don't like confrontations. I steer away from them. I always have done. But sometimes you can't help getting into it, can you? Don't like arguments, but I can stick up for myself. I mean, I can stand on my own two feet. Oops, hear my stomach. Yeah, I can. Because I've had to. I don't think my sister can to that extent. I mean, she can, but I don't know. I think it's because I went away to school, because when you go away to school, you have to, it's sink or swim, basically. You know, you can't run home to mummy at the end of the day when everything doesn't go right. You've just got to learn to deal with it. And you didn't get, back in the day, you didn't get sympathy very often if things weren't going your way. Because the people that were looking after you had no kids, and they didn't really know anything about children or teenagers, actually. And so they didn't really know. They didn't understand. So, you know, when you went away from school, from home, that's Lammy, he's gone out on the landing, shaking himself. Don't know why he's up at this hour. When you go away to school, when I was first away from home, I was so homesick. It was awful. But there was no one to turn to. There was only one lady. Because I went to two different schools. I was the first one for 3 years, and then I went on to the grammar school, and there was nobody there that gave you any sympathy, that's for sure. And I was still only 10 when I went there, but when I went to the other one, I was coming up for 8, and there was only one person, I would say, that gave me any kind of reassurance. And she was on duty on a Wednesday night. I used to go home every weekend, but it might as well have been 6 months, because that's how, like, Monday to Friday felt like 6 months. And we were allowed to have a phone call for 5 minutes every week, and mine was on a Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And so she was on duty on a Wednesday, and she was there, thankfully, because I used to just spend the whole 5 minutes crying and saying, please come and take me home, please take me home. And I didn't realise what a terrible impact it had on my family. But it wasn't really my fault because I didn't understand and I was too young to realise it was so upsetting for them, especially my mum. She lost a lot of weight. She went down to 6 stone. She was really unwell because they thought they were doing the best thing to send me away to school. That's what they were told to do. They didn't really have a lot of choice. But anyway, I was fine once I settled in. But this lady was the only person, Mrs. Parker, her name was. She was from up north. I think she was from Yorkshire. She and her husband were really nice. She was married, so she had a bit of... She wasn't an old spinster like most of them were, or bachelors. And she used to take me around. She used to be there, and afterwards she came with her box of tissues. And she used to take me around with her because she was on duty, and I used to go around and lock the doors and make sure everybody was okay. And one day I remember going to her room. I don't know why we went there, but I think it was to get some tissues, just because I remember sitting on her bed, because she lived in at the time. And she was the only person, honestly, I can honestly say, that gave me any sympathy or understanding in the whole of that time, and that was in both schools. I'm not saying the others were horrible to me. They weren't horrible, but they were matter of fact. You know, you'd say, oh, I want to go home. They'd say, go and get ready for bed now. You know, they'd just treat it like it's nothing, and they just didn't understand. So I don't know how I got onto this subject. Oh, it was about standing on my own 2 feet. Well, that's it. You had no choice. Because if you didn't, I don't know what would happen to you. You soon had to learn to toughen up. And it was quite an enjoyable time. I mean, I enjoyed my time. But the thing was, I got settled into that school and then I had to move to another one after 3 years and I didn't want to go. And we were all new that time. But as far as I can remember, I don't remember anyone else crying or being upset. Oh, they must have been, but I don't think they certainly weren't to my extent. I took things to a new level, I'm afraid. I did. Even the headmistress was worried. And I thought if I didn't eat, they said I hadn't hardly eaten for a week. I thought if I didn't eat, they'd send me home. They didn't. They just rang my mother and said they're really worried. They don't know what to do with me because I won't eat. I can remember them trying to force feed me Rice Krispies. But anyway, I survived. I'm here to tell the tale. I know how to stand up for myself. I know how to look after myself. Anyway, I can't sleep. It didn't teach me how to sleep. Oh, when I was 15, I had sleeping problems because I shared a room with this girl. I'd never had sleeping problems in my life. I hadn't till the last year. I haven't ever had them in my life. Maybe the odd week here or there if I've been worried about something. But when I was about 15, I was sharing a room with this girl. No one else wanted to share with her, so guess who got landed with her? Because I felt sorry for her. We all had to choose who we wanted to share with, and she was always the one that no one wanted to share with. It's quite sad, really. So I shared with her for a term, but she was insufferable, really, because she was one of these girls that she was like always the lowest in the class at everything, and she tried the hardest, probably, poor girl. And she was under a lot of pressure from her dad, because she was an only child. And, you know, she was one of these, if you were revising for your exams, we had exams that year, it's my 5th year at school, she'd say, how much revision have you done? It was like a competition, and I felt really pressurised. I felt really pressurised that it was a competition. Like, if she saw me revising, she had to do it. Of course, she needed to do it a darn sight more than I did, but I'd got by with a minimum, believe me, because I just knew I could scrape by without doing much work, basically. But anyway, that's another story. But she went and complained to somebody because she said I kept her awake because I used to be turning over, whatever. And then she'd start going, and all this, like I was keeping her awake. So in the end, I got up and I went and sat in the bathroom. That's what I'd do till I felt tired. And then she went and complained to somebody. And I was 15 and they put me on bloody Mogadon sleeping tablets. Oh, I tell you, I've never taken sleeping tablets since. They gave me some at the hospital last year. I've still got them, a week's supply, just to get my sleeping back into a routine. I said, no, thank you. When I took them, they made me feel half dead. I couldn't get up in the morning. I couldn't wake up. You know, I'd wake up. I just couldn't wake. I was like a zombie. It was awful. Of course, when I went home for the holidays, my mum went mad. She said, what are they doing putting you on your 15-year-old, putting you on them? She tipped him down the toilet. I never took him anymore. But I was all right after that, because when I went back, it was a new term. I was with one of my best friends then. So that was fine. I slept okay and I didn't have any further problems. Anyway, I could talk through the night about this and that and a load of crap. But I suppose I better not. There's not even anything to do around the house. I've done it all. I can't start hoovering at this time of night, of course. I will get shot down in flames by somebody. But I've done everything else. So I guess I've either got to listen to Five Live. There's no more audio booths to listen to. I've listened to them all. Well, not all of them, but all the people I follow. I could do some direct messages, but I can't be bothered. That's the honest answer. I will do some, but I just sent someone one to say happy birthday belatedly. But I will do some tomorrow or Tuesday or whatever. But I don't really feel like doing it right now. So my little dog's just got up on the bed. I don't know why he's awake, because he's deaf. He's gone deaf through old age. Well, he's not that old. He's 12 on the 1st of November, but he's gone quite deaf. But he knows when I get up and walk around and move about, usually. The only time he doesn't know is first thing in the morning if I go downstairs. He'll be so deeply asleep, it might be 20 minutes or half an hour before he comes down. But like now, because I started walking around and I went to shut the door, he knew I'd moved. It's really strange, because he sleeps under the bed. He's got a wicker basket and like a fur, not furry, it's like, it's supposed to be memory foam. It's like, it feels like velvet, a velvety bed thing. And sometimes he just sleeps on the floor if it's hot, but he must have known I was moving around and thought, she's going to go downstairs. But I didn't. Anyway, everyone, good evening, good morning, good night, whatever. Bye for now.